Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
The Environmental Protection Agency has said the overall water quality in Ireland's rivers, lakes and estuaries is getting worse. This is after a period of relative stability and improvement. Now, earlier in the programme, we heard the director of DCU's Water Institute draw an explicit link between the deterioration and the continued expansion of the national herd. And we also heard in that report, the European Commission has insisted other countries cull their herd, while agricultural activity is shown to be behind water pollution. I'm joined by Dara O'Hulacón from Teagasc, the state's agricultural scientific advisory body. Dara, good evening to you.
Good evening, Mary.
Now, we're told water quality had stabilised, then we had the rapid expansion of the dairy herd in 2015. Now water quality is in decline again, and chemistry professor Fiona Regan says there is a link. Do you agree?
Well, I think the trends you're stating are not actually true. I think there has been a continuous decline in water quality prior to the abolition of quota. I also think it's too simple a story to try and put the blame specifically on the expansion of the dairy industry. We're seeing declines in status in areas where there wouldn't have been dairy expansion along the Western Seaboard. Some of the declines in some of our more extensive sites, again, would be very extensive agriculture and forestry. So therefore, we can't really lay the blame specifically on the expansion of the dairy herd.
So are you saying it is one factor, but it isn't the only factor?
It is one of a number of factors. And I think that the importance of these long-term data sets that the EPA provide and the reports that they provide is that they provide a variety of different data sets. And it's a very difficult story to tell and try and tease out the different actors. It's not surprising that agriculture will contribute to the decline in some areas with the water quality, considering the large area of agriculture. But it's also important to note that agriculture can play a very important role in trying to reverse these declines and trying to improve some of the water quality that we're seeing. And again, within the EPA report, we're seeing some positive stories in this regard, where we're seeing where there is targeted, integrated actions by Teagasc and the Agricultural Sustainability Support Team, along with local authorities and various state departments. We can see improvements where farmers are given specific advice and specific actions. We can see reversals in the decline in water quality.
Yeah, but is there a logic to this, that if you were expanding the herd, as we did in this country, that there's an inevitability that it is going to have a knock-on effect? It's going to have environmental consequences.
Not necessarily. So people were stating there in the report before the news that it was unchecked dairy expansion. I think we need to be cognizant that where dairy expansion occurs and where there's derogation, there's very stringent measures under the Nitrates Action Programme for these 7,000 or 8,000 farmers. And these derogation actions are continuously reviewed, not just by the EU, but also reviewed by our departments, along with other state agencies, including Teagasc and the EPA. And there are recommendations such that there are further restrictions on dairy expansion and on reducing the amount of nutrients that are getting from our
land. Are you suggesting the EPA has got it wrong? They're saying the deterioration, driven mostly by an increase in nitrogen runoff from agricultural lands and phosphorus runoff from urban wastewater sources. Are you disputing that?
So agriculture and municipal both can play an important role. I think it's important to note in the report, the EPA did not note dairy expansion, did not make any reference to dairy expansion. I also think it's important that we're not complacent in any way. We all can play a significant role in trying to reverse the declines. And it is disappointing that these declines are continuously happening, despite a variety of different mitigation measures and despite a variety of research that's being undertaken in trying to address some of these declines. I think that's the important story. I think we should look at areas where there can be improvements. I think we should look at areas for improving our high-status water bodies in particular, which has been recommended by the EPA. And we're seeing significant actions in this regard, where there's Teagasc, along with other agencies, are undertaking LIFE projects, are undertaking freshwater permaculture programs, where there are measures targeted, specific measures targeted to the right area to try and either reduce the source of the nutrient and sediment, which is an important stressor, or break the flow between the nutrients.
You're familiar with the Dutch problems?
I am.
And you know what happened in Holland, and you know...
Well, I do know, exactly. And I think, again, it's important we shouldn't make too many comparisons between the Netherlands and Ireland. So although we are declining, we are still at 53% good status for our rivers. The Dutch were at less than 1%. So it's not that surprising that there were significant restrictions imposed on the Dutch.
But is that where we're heading? And we could end up with similar restrictions being imposed in this country?
Well, unless we implement sustainable measures, there is a danger, obviously, that that could happen. But I do think that there are measures being undertaken and there is research being undertaken to try and target the right measure to the right place. And we should continue with these areas where there is specific advice and specific research identifying sources, breaking the pathway between source and receptor, such that you can then see improvements.
But
in water
do you
quality.
Reject then what Mary Gurry from the EPA was saying this morning? She was drawing a link between agricultural expansion and water decline. Are you rejecting what other experts in their fields are saying as well about this graph going upwards since 2015? You can map it.
Sorry, the graph has been going upwards since before 2015.
Yes, but has it not escalated since 2015?
Not significantly so. There's a continuous, between reporting periods, there is a decline of between 2 and 3% in river water quality. And again, that is too much because we're meant to be going in the other way. But I think it's too simple a message to lay the blame exclusively at dairy expansion when we're seeing declines in areas where there hasn't been dairy expansion, when we're also seeing declines prior to dairy expansion.
Right. Will you break it down for me then? Will you tell me, in your view, and what you base it on, how much of the blame, if you like, if you want to put it that way, is on the dairy herd and the expansion of the dairy herd, and what are the other factors?
So it's very difficult to tease out various enterprises within agriculture and to tease out various land uses in relation to the proportion of blame.
But isn't that essential to do that? If you want to know, if you say it's not that the dairy, it's not, you can't track it directly to the expansion of the dairy herd, don't we need to know what the factors are if we're going to address them?
So absolutely. So additional research is required in relation to seeing what are the most significant drivers of decline in water quality. So firstly, it's not just nutrients. So it's not just phosphorus and nitrogen. And the EPA, along with research from Chagos, has identified sediment and other sources of stressors. I also think it's important to note that last year it was a kind of an anomaly in relation that we had a very wet spring and a very dry summer. So that could have resulted in some declines that were unusual in relation to the grand scheme of general decline. I think additional research is required in relation to identifying the provenance or identifying the sources of the certain areas, such that we can then target specific measures to these sources so that you have the right measure in the right place in relation to reducing the nutrients or reducing the source or breaking the pathway between the source and the receptor.
But we live at a time when really there isn't any great predictability anymore about our weather conditions. And, you know, you can point to an anomaly, but is every year now not becoming an anomaly?
And that is a concern. So there are unusual things happen with soil when soils are typically wet and then become drier. They become nitrogen, for example, can become mineralized. So you could have a source of nitrogen that wouldn't typically be there because of a very dry summer. So I think it's very important that we are prepared for these more extreme weather events that are more likely to happen. That additional research is undertaken looking at long-term data sets to see can we identify potential trends such that we can then target the appropriate mitigation measures to these areas.
We will leave it there for now. Dara O'Hoolihan from Teagasc, thank you very much for joining us.